Y'all enjoy that, say amen.
Amen.
I thought that's pretty good, amen. Cut that thing off there, Brother James. Take your Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. I apologize to Brother Charles a while ago, and I apologize to you for coming to church half-dressed. I never go, I don't think it's a rule that you have to, but I've never come to church without a suit coat on. And I thought I had took it off this afternoon, laid it in the back seat of my truck. Got about halfway to church, and I told my wife, I said, look back there and see if my coat's back there. She said, nope. And I had some important stuff in the pockets. I was supposed to brought somebody tonight, and anyway, my coat's at the house. So if you don't like it, get over it. No, thank you, Brother Robbie. You keep your. I'll wait a Christmas to dress up like Santa Claus. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Just a simple little thought tonight. We'll go to the house. Jehoshaphat is the king of Israel, and the Moabites are coming after them. They're outnumbered. They're outmatched. They're outmanned. They doesn't look like there's much hope. And there's a verse over in verse number 15, and where Jehoshaphat said, or the Lord said, and he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of all Judah, or of Jerusalem. And thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude." Now watch this. He said, "For the battle is not yours, but God's."
Amen.
Let's look at that last little part again. He said, "For the battle is not yours, but God's."
Amen.
Amen. Some of our people tonight are going through great battles. Brother Don and Miss Candace are going through a great battle. Brother Shane, in having his leg amputated, is going through a great battle. Some marriages in our church are going through great battles. Some finances in our church, in our homes, are going through great battles. For those of you that are in the fight tonight, let me say unto you, the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Amen? Amen. The Bible said we're more than conquerors through Him. Is that right? Amen. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Is that still in the book? We ought to get a hold of it every now and then and say, this is too much for me and this is too big for me, but it's not too big for my God. Amen. Old Peg McCamey sang a song years ago. It said the battle is, how'd that thing go? Let's see. The battle is His. Thank you, Sister Shelley. The battle is His, the victory is mine, and victory is sweet. The battle is His, the victory is mine, and victory is sweet. I wonder how much better off we'd be tonight if we'd take our hands off of our situations and let God handle that thing for us. Amen. I wonder how much better off our marriages would be if we'd put our marriages and our homes in the hand of God. Amen. I wonder how much better our teenagers would be tonight if we had just put them in the hand of God. I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to try to fix my problems myself. I have a tendency to look to heaven and say, "Lord, I got it." And I wonder how many times He's just sniggered and said, "Yeah, right." Amen. How you think you're going to handle this? You hadn't handled anything else. Amen. Listen, if He can keep me out of hell, I can trust Him with my trouble. Amen. If He can keep me out of hell, that's the greatest thing. Somebody said, "I just don't see how I'm going to get through this." You got through salvation, didn't you? Amen. Who did that? He did. It wasn't you. It wasn't nothing you did. Amen. It was all God. It was every bit God. Only part you had in it was accepting what He had already done for you. Amen. Listen, man, I've heard this old saying 1,000 times, but I've read the back of the book. We win. Amen. I love that old song that says, "I am on the winning side." Listen, you may be discouraged and you may be down, but you're on the winning side tonight. Amen. Amen. You're on the winning side, Brother Shane. It may look bad and everybody may look in on your troubles and say, "Poor, poor Shane." I'm not saying poor Shane tonight. I'm not going to have a pity party for Brother Shane. Brother Shane is a child of God and he's on his way to heaven, and God knows his situation and God knows what he's going through, and God already has the answer on the way.
Amen.
Amen. I wonder how many of us foul up God's plan by trying to fix it ourselves.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Oh, we need a counselor." No, you need the counselor.
Yeah.
You just need to come to God tonight and say, God, here is a situation. That's kind of like what Abraham said to Isaac as they were going up the side of the hill. And Isaac said, Father, we have the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? You know what Abraham said? He said, my son, God. That's enough right there. Amen? In other words, Abraham was looking to his son and saying, son, this is a situation for God. Our son, here's a God for the situation, either way you want to look at it. Amen? I'm saying God can handle it. Preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm saying God can handle it. Amen. If we had trusted Him. If we had just really learned to trust God with our problem. Jehoshaphat, like us, he faced trouble. He's got a great enemy coming at him. Would you agree? The Moabites are coming. They are a multitude, the Bible said, and they're coming to kill them. Now, I don't think anybody's on their way to your house to kill you tonight. I hope not. Amen. You just got some bills you can't pay. Amen. You just got a nagging wife or a nagging husband. You just got a marriage that's on the rock. You just got a teenager that's wayward. Ain't nobody trying to kill you tonight. You ought to say hallelujah right there. Amen. But somehow we look at our problem, and whatever our problem is, because it's our problem, it seems greater than everybody else's. But it's not. There's somebody somewhere going through something worse than you are. Let me tell you what, we don't have Moabites coming down the road attacking our church, but I'll tell you what we do have. As a church as a whole, we have coldness trying to creep in our church. Amen. I preach all over this country, and some places I stand behind the pulpit and begin to preach, and I close my eyes and pretend I can see your faces and hear your shouts. Amen. Because it's deader than 4 o'clock in the morning in Alabama. We ought to see to it that coldness don't creep in here. I can take you into any direction when you leave this parking lot, show you 4 or 5 different churches that I remember as a boy that were on fire for God, and now they call us a cult. Amen. They call us a cult, and all we're doing is what they were doing 30 and 40 years ago. Amen. We're exactly what they were. They had standards back then. Amen. They had song books back then. They had a King James Bible back then. They did. They didn't have a rock band back then. We all right tonight? And if you went in one of them churches where they're jamming on electric guitars and beating the drums in the middle of that mess, if you said, amen, you'd give them a heart attack and they'd fall over dead. Amen. Coldness will creep in our church. You know how it gets in our church? In your heart. Amen. How can we battle coldness? Just like Brother Gordon sang a while ago, we keep that fire burning down inside our heart. Yes, sir. Amen. Listen, I figured out a long time ago, I'm not going to let you determine whether or not I'm happy. Yes, sir. I'm not going to let how you act determine my joy. I'm going to have a good time whether you do or not. You can sit there and stare at your watch and balance your checkbook and text one another on the phone. I'm going to enjoy myself in the Lord. Amen. Y'all all right tonight? That's a problem we face today. That's one of our enemies, is coldness trying to creep into our church. Another one is worldliness trying to creep into our church. Amen. Now listen here. We don't turn ladies away at the door because they ain't wearing a dress. I know churches that do. Amen. But our older ladies ought to be setting the example for the younger ones. Amen. We're supposed to be helping them to learn how to do right instead of saying, well, he lets them get away with it, I might as well. Amen. Amen. I don't want to have a worldly church, do you? Do you? Come on, talk to me. Do you? Amen. Yeah, you can jump up and run over at Westridge if you want to. Amen. I don't want to have a worldly church. I want a church where the power of God is real and the power of God moves. But this is something that we're going to have to battle and we're going to have to fight. Yes, somebody said you'll have a bigger crowd if you change your music. I don't want the bigger crowd if that's what it takes. Amen. Amen. I don't want the bigger crowd if that's what it takes. We're not going to singing choruses around here. Amen. Y'all all right? Yes, I like them hymns myself. I like Amazing Grace. I like Hold the Fort. I like I Know My Name Is There. I like It Is Well With My Soul. And I believe we'll stay with that instead of them 7-Eleven songs. Amen? Got seven words and they sing them 11 times. That's what they are. Amen? Just a little vain repetition. That's all it is. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, worldliness will creep into our church if we let it. Amen. What makes a church worldly? It's people. It's people. If we're not careful, we'll come in here so full of the world, God ain't got room to move. Amen. Do you know why you'll get mad at the preacher when he's preaching? You're worldly. Amen. I can't remember the last time I got mad at a preacher other than Joel Osteen. That's you're exactly right, brother. That guy chaps my high. Listen, man, I tell you, you want to get a good laugh? Just try this. Go home and Google, just do this, Google Benny Hinn, go to YouTube and type in Benny Hinn confronts Joel Osteen. That's the funniest thing I've ever seen. He calls him demon possessed. Y'all think I get on him hard, brother? Old Benny ripped him up one side. And here's the thing to me that's funny. When Benny Hinn is criticizing you, brother, you got problems. Amen. Amen. I'm serious, man. When Benny Hinn is after you, brother, he preaching against you, you got a hard time, brother. Amen. I'd hate to be Joel Osteen, wouldn't you? Amen. Worldliness is trying to creep in. You know why those guys like that are so popular? Because they're telling people what they want to hear. Amen. That's latter-day religion, friend. That's scripture up one side and down the other. They're heaping to themselves. Teachers having itching ears. Amen. Don't nobody want to hear that they're a sinner. Don't nobody want to hear that how they're living is not right. Don't nobody want to hear repent anymore. Amen. But we need to preach that thing. Amen. Because it'll creep in here and it'll take over. Amen. Jehoshaphat faced problems. We're facing problems. That's why Paul said to earnestly contend for the faith. We need to roll up our sleeves and say, I'm going to stand by my pastor, and I'm not letting coldness creep in here, and I'm not letting worldliness creep in here. I don't want a church where it scares somebody to death when Sister Legina gets happy and goes to shouting. Amen. I wish y'all could sit where I sit sometime. I love sitting in here on Sunday morning. We usually have anywhere from 7 to 8, at least 7 to 8 visitors every Sunday morning. I love it when they sit close to her. Or close to Sister Denise, and they get happy and start clapping their hands. That doesn't bother them too bad. But boy, when they go to shouting. Amen. I've seen it make some of you uncomfortable. We okay tonight? What is that? It's the coldness and the worldliness trying to creep into our church. Amen. I remember in our Christian school, we'd go to basketball games, and I'd have to go to the principal, or I'd have to go to the pastor and ask them to turn their music off. I'm talking about in Bible-believing Baptist churches. Amen. We're going to fight that around here till we die. Amen. Amen. It's trying its best to creep in. Pride. Amen. We ought to do our best to remove that word from our vocabulary. Pride. Amen. I hit it real hard this morning. Talking about them other versions of the Bible, they take the word pride. They change it. They ain't got the word pride in there. They don't want you to know. That's the number one killer of God's people and God's churches. Amen. You know why churches split? Because somebody's so stinking proud they can't say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong." Amen. Amen. Let's not get so full of pride that we can't apologize to each other. Amen. I apologize to my wife all the time, whether I'm guilty or not. I'm sorry, baby. Amen. 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 I counsel people all the time that will never admit they're wrong. You know what that is? That's pride. Well, bless God, if she'd apologize, now, why don't you? Why don't you? If she'd come and ask me, I'd forgive her. No, you wouldn't. Or you'd have already done it. It's your pride. Amen. Amen. Let's fight to keep pride out of here. Let's fight to keep worldliness out of here. Let's fight. Let's fight to keep coldness. I don't want a cold church. Can you imagine how long was we here today? Long time, wasn't it? They sung a long time. It wasn't my preaching. Amen. They sung a long time. We was here a while. I mean, it was well after 1 o'clock, I think, when we got out. Can you imagine sitting in one of them old dry, dead churches for that long? Man, it'd be snoring city, wouldn't it? Amen. I've heard preachers preach that if I was the one doing the preaching, I could sleep while I was doing it. Amen. I want a church there's some excitement about, some enthusiasm about. Amen. Even when the preaching's rough like it was this morning, I want a church where people say, hey, preacher, that's right. Amen, brother. Yeah, it's rough, but that's right. Amen. Jehoshaphat faced problems just like we do. But I tell you what Jehoshaphat did. Look at verse number 7. Jehoshaphat found him a promise. He said, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, listen to me carefully. What you need to do in the battles that you're in, I was talking about the battles we face as a church, but the battles that you're in individually and personally, things going on in your lives that I don't know about and nobody else knows about, what you need to do is find you a promise in the Word of God and hang on to that thing, even when you feel like you've been dropped off in the middle of nowhere and left all alone. You need to remember the Lord said, hey, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even on the end of the earth. And we need to get a promise from God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The reason so many are distressed and discouraged is because they don't believe what the Bible tells them.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Get you one of them little Bible promise books. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Looks like a New Testament. It's just full of God's promises. You ought to get, you ever remind, you hear what Jehoshaphat's doing? He's reminding God of what he's done in the past.
Yes, sir,
amen. You know what? If I go to the doctor tomorrow and I'm diagnosed with cancer, they say, you've got a tumor. I had big old knots in my neck the other day. Thank God they went away. I just knew, you know how your old body will do and your mind, it's cancer. You're dying. Them glands are swelling. And I thought 1,000 times, Lord, Ashley's cancer started right there in her neck. Right there where mine's hurting. I'm dying for sure. Amen. You know what I'm going to do if I find out I've got cancer? I'm going to remind God every day what he did for that young lady right there. I'm going to say, God, wasn't it you who healed her from head to toe, eat up with cancer? It was sure thing she was going to die. But God, you stepped in and done it for Ashley. God, would you do that for me?
Yeah.
Amen. When we face these battles, and we face battles as a church, I pray often. And I say, God, that church down yonder, you did this for them and you did that for them. Hey, God, hey, we're still preaching the truth.
Yeah.
Amen. I was up in New York. Brother Sam Gipp's son, Nate, he's a youth pastor up there. And we went out to eat after church and we were talking. He said, Brother, you ain't gonna believe this. He said, we're in a building program. Somebody told us about this grant thing. He said, we put in for it and they sent us a check for $400,000. I slapped him right in the mouth. No, I didn't. I said, give me that phone number. Amen. Amen. You don't think I've told God about that? I didn't think he knew. I didn't, because we ain't got none. Amen. I said, Lord, I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but them people over there got $400,000. Amen. Remind God. I told you, I've been praying for a long time for that big check. It's coming. I don't doubt it. Not one ounce of me doubts that God is going to take care of that.
Amen.
I believe. You say, preacher, you really believe God could give us $600,000? I know he can.
Yes, sir.
I know he will. I don't know when. I wish I did.
Yeah.
I wish I did. I trust him with all my heart, but boy, that'd make it a little bit easier if I knew exactly which day to go to the mailbox and get that check out of there. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Why do you believe him, preacher? Because he told us he'd take care of
us. Yeah.
Amen. He said we wouldn't have to go begging bread. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank God. Get you a promise from God. Find somebody in the Bible who was in your situation and God took care of it.
Yes, sir.
Find somebody in your church that's been through what you're going through and God handled it.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care what your battle is tonight. If you would tell me what it is, I could find you somebody who's shouting the victory.
Yeah.
Who's been through what you've going what you're going through and made it.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. They're out there.
Yes.
They're out there.
Yes.
Their marriages that have survived adultery and are thriving. They're out there.
Amen.
Amen. There are families that have survived bankruptcy and God's brought them through.
Amen.
They're out there.
Yes,
I don't got a point for to show you somebody who survived cancer. She's right there. Amen. You think God don't know he lost his leg? You don't think God don't know our stinking, crooked government denied his Social Security? I still get mad on that. It burns me up. These stinking lazy bums. You get behind them at Walmart and they got a buggy full of groceries, got 7 or 8 kids, ain't a thing in the world wrong with them. They pay for it all with food stamps. Here you got a man that loves God, loves his family, loves his wife and his children, and they say, no, you don't qualify. What do you got to do to qualify? You want to cut the other one off and sift out of hell? It's ridiculous, man. Here you are. That's stupid. God knows all about it. Yeah. Amen. Brother Shane's mother, I can't remember exactly what she said, but he was talking to her on the phone, and she said, there's no telling what purpose God has in this. There's no telling what purpose. I remember when I watched my son lay in a coma, and I looked in his lifeless face, and I thought, God, why? What are you doing? I couldn't see what God was doing, but I had to trust God. Amen. I had to trust God that he knew what he was doing. God knew I needed a youth pastor down the road. Amen. God used that huge thing in his life to shake us all up a little bit. Amen. And there he sits tonight. Hallelujah. Praise. The Lord knows what he's doing. Amen. He knows exactly what he's doing. How many times have you ever been through a battle or a trial in your life? And you almost got to the point where you said, to heck with this.
Yes, sir, brother.
Come on, y'all, be honest. Yes, sir. I have. I'm your preacher. I've resigned this church 1,000 times. Y'all just don't know it. I mean, you just get ready to throw in the towel and say, that's it. But after you come through that trial and after you come through that battle and you look back on it and you go, oh, I see, Lord. Thank you, God, for allowing me to go through that so you could get me to where I am now.
Yes.
Amen. I'm sure the disciples in Mark chapter number 4 did not enjoy that storm. I mean, they were dying. They were. They thought they were. That's what they told him when they woke him up. Master, carest thou not that we what?
Perish.
The story starts in fear, but it ends in far out. Amen. It started in fear. Oh, Lord, don't you even care? But at the end of that thing, wow, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea, I guarantee you they were thankful for that storm after what they saw. Man, he just stepped out on the bow of the boat and said, peace be still. And brother, it was a great calm.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Think about it. I don't know what you're going through. I love that old song, Sister Donna. She's up there in the balcony tonight. Whatever you do, don't jump, okay? I remember that song she used to sing with Sister Janice, the sun's coming up in the morning.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The Bible said weeping may endure for the night.
Yes.
Amen. But joy
Amen.
Cometh in the morning.
Amen.
The thing about a storm is it'll pass.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It will pass. I've seen joy and victory in some of the oddest places. Brother Jason will tell you, ain't no telling how many times we've heard about his daddy's funeral. I don't know how many people were here that day. The cars were everywhere. The balcony was full. The whole place was full. Everybody walked through that door and said, I ain't never been to a funeral like that. Didn't it? I ain't never in my life seen a funeral like that.
Amen.
Brother, we wasn't bawling and squalling. We was shouting with victory, brother. Amen. Wow, we knew where he was at. Amen. And some of the oddest places. I've seen rejoicing in the funeral home. I've seen rejoicing in the hospitals.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 said, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. Amen. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming for some of you. We've had people in our church out of a job so long, I ain't never seen nothing like it in my life. I never have, but God knows where we are. Amen.
Amen.
God knows ain't nobody building no houses right now. You'd be an idiot to go build a house to sell. Ain't 10,000 sitting around here empty. Amen.
Amen.
God knows all about that. He does. He knows there ain't no carpet to lay. He knows there ain't no houses to paint. Amen. He knows all about that stuff. If we'll just trust him. Don't quit in the battle. Don't quit in the battle. Hang on to the promises of God and enjoy the victory. A couple more verses. I want you to look at verse number 12. Now here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to confess your weakness. He said, "O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no," what's it say? "Might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Hear what he said? He said, "God, this is bigger than us. This is bigger than us. Shane, your situation's bigger than you are. People that are out of a job, your finances are bigger than you are." I wonder, don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you tonight will go to bed. You'll worry yourself to sleep trying to figure out how you're going to do this and how you're going to do that. Why worry about something you can't fix?
Amen. That's right.
Me and Brother Robert used to make fun of your cousin, Tim. I guess he's cousin, right? We used to make fun of Tim all the time. I ain't never seen Tim stressed a day in his life. We've been best friends since we was babies. I ain't never seen him stressed. I ain't never seen him worried. Robert used to say, "He just don't care." He just don't care. I don't think that's the answer. Why cry over something I can't do nothing about? Amen. Just trust the Lord. Amen. Confess your weakness. You know, when I'm weak, he's strong. Amen. When I'm weak, he's strong. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I know a lot of your situations and what you're going through. But why don't you crawl up in this altar tonight and say, "God, this is way too much for me. This is way too big for me." He said, "We have no might against this great company." He said, "We don't have the power. We don't have the power to overcome this. But we know who does." Amen. I want you to watch this next little step. I'm almost done. Probably the shortest message I'll preach in a month. I'm trying to make up for preaching so long this morning. He faced his problems. He found him a promise. He confessed his powerlessness. And then I want you to watch in verse number 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, I can't even pronounce these words, the son of whatever his name is, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, watch this, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." Amen. He told them in the next verse, he said, "Go on tomorrow, just go on down there and go against them. I know it's a fight, it looks like you can't win, but it's not your fight.
Amen.
It's God's fight."
Amen.
Can you imagine what the children of Israel thought when Joshua came to them and said, "All right, guys, here's the plan. We're fixing to go and take Jericho. All right, Joshua, how are we going to do this? Are we going to get the special forces out? Or are we going to, boy, you would expect some great something."
Yeah.
Joshua said, "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to leave all the guns and hand grenades at home." He said, "We're going to get the preachers right up there with that ark and some trumpets."
Yeah.
He said, "We're just going to go march around that city for 7 days. On the seventh day, we're going to do it 7 times. He said, "When we get done, we're going to shout." You're kidding, right? No, that's what God said to do. Doesn't that seem silly? It does. It sounds silly, but the wisest thing you can ever do is just do exactly what God said to do. Amen? Joshua said, "Mark her down." That's what God said to do. That's what we're going to do. Can you imagine how they felt? Marching around that great walled city and all them big soldiers standing up there looking down at them going, "What in the world are they? Bunch of idiots."
Yeah.
Kind of like they did us in the parade. Yeah. Amen. Look at them idiots. What are they doing? I wonder how they felt when they started shouting and them walls started trembling.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Hallelujah.
God's people are obeying him.
Amen.
Now God's doing what he said he'd do. Amen. Jehoshaphat faced his problems. Jehoshaphat found him a problem. Jehoshaphat confessed that he was powerless. And then the Spirit revealed his protection. The Spirit of the Lord came. You know what you need tonight? You need the Spirit of the Lord to speak to your heart.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You need the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and say, hey, it's going to be okay.
Yes.
Just hold on. Amen. Just hang on. Give God time and give God space to work and move in your life. And trust Him to do just that. Lastly, look, verse number 21. When this thing's said and done, here's what Jehoshaphat does. He doesn't try to get the people to praise the Lord. He appoints some praisers.
Yep.
Verse number 21, the Bible said, when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Look up here. You say, yeah, they were praising God because the battle was... Uh-uh. They was praising God before the battle was fought. Before the battle was ever fought, they just started praising God. Okay? It's hard to praise God when you're in the middle of a trial, isn't it? My little old country grandmother, whatever happened, whatever bad happens, she'd always say, well, just praise God anyhow.
Yes,
amen? It's the best thing you can do.
Yes, amen.
Can you imagine how the Lord feels when He sees you going through it, but you're still giving Him honor and glory for what He's doing? Sister Sheila and Tommy had to go out. We had Brother Jeff Cash's wife was having chest pains. They had to go check on her. But I remember when Sister Ashley was eat up with cancer from her head to her toe. She had a tumor in her neck, had a tumor behind her eye, was liver and lungs. It was all over the place. A cancer so severe that the doctors could not even identify. They didn't even know what kind it was. They just said it was the most aggressive they'd ever seen. And I'll never forget while she was laying at home, burnt from head to toe from chemotherapy. Sister Sheila stood up right there and testified one Sunday morning. She said, I'm not going to wait for God to heal my daughter. Tears running down her face, she lifted both her hands. She said, I'm going to give God glory now. Y'all remember that? I'll never forget as long as I live. And I sat there and I thought, oh, dear God, here I am, her preacher, and I don't know if I could do that. But she stood right there and she sang praises unto God and she bragged on the Lord. I believe that's why Ashley's here tonight.
Amen.
What we ought to do instead of wallowing in our own self-pity, we ought to just praise God because we trust Him for what He's going to do. Amen? Let's stand to our feet tonight. Brother Todd, I told somebody that y'all had seen God's been good. Would y'all do that? Where's Miss Katie at? Katie, where'd she go? That's right. Come on, son. Yeah, that'll work. What I preach tonight is easier said than done. When I get in those places, I just ask God to give me the strength. Because I walk around in a body of flesh just like you do. And sometimes it seems like it'd be easier just to give up. I've even prayed and said, Lord, you're going to have to increase my faith a little bit. I'm having a hard time with this. I questioned Him 1,000 times when that young'un was eat up with cancer. Lord, why are you doing this? I've prayed, I don't know how many times, Lord, this ain't fair. Why are you allowing Shane to go through these struggles? Lord, why'd you allow Don's finger to get cut off? It seemed like the Holy Spirit says, can't you just trust me? I know what I'm doing. Just hang on. Watch me work. Amen.
So, Lord, I want to trust you with all my heart. I do. But, Lord, I need your help. And he'll help you. He'll do it. Y'all go ahead and sing. God dealing with your heart tonight. Come on. Get on this altar.